All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan King topic of the day here. I get it. Yeah, listen, I woke up and, you know, you got some signs yesterday for sure. But, I mean, it's been so windy and so cold for so long. Today, got baseball on my mind. And I know many of you have baseball on your mind as well. I think I just have a little bit of a different baseball thing on my mind. And that is, I'm fine where the Yankees are right now. It's not March yet. I know, they've got a lot of things that need to resolve themselves. We've got to see what happens with Dominguez in left field, third base, DH. Who's the leadoff hitter? No true cleanup hitter until Stanton gets back. If he does, possibly a little bit too lefty-oriented. Not exactly sure what's going to happen with all those stories, even with, say, first base. You just don't know. And we can sit here and say, well, you know, last 2 months of the season, Goldschmidt's OPS was this. And it's true. There were signs that he figured things out. But we got to see how it plays out. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to let it play out. I'm not going to go nuts. Do I think that in October that one of the three players that is vying for the opening day third base position is playing third base? No chance. I really don't. I don't. But that doesn't worry me now. It doesn't even remotely concern me now because I believe it's going to be addressed here. And I also believe when somebody tells you what they're thinking, depending upon the track record of that person, I think you should believe them if the track record's favorable. And, you know, listen, I don't think anybody's perfect, so I wouldn't sit here and say that I think Hal Steinbrenner's perfect, but I think Hal gets a little bit beat up unfairly in the court of public opinion. When does Hal really lie to you? You know, the Yankees missed the playoffs. Judge got hurt a couple of years back. He said it was unacceptable. He went out, got Juan Soto, well, tried to make things change. Tried to change things. No? Gave Rodon a big deal. All right, Rodon's not a stud, but he paid him. It's like he paid Max Fried now. Just like he got a left fielder last year. Didn't work out, but he tried. So I really think that Hal's definitely delivered for you. I think it's lazy, and I think it's really unfair. He's not his dad. We know that. But baseball's not the same. And I don't think that George would be quite perceived to be George. Well, the good version of George, not the bad one, because there's both sides. If George was still running the show today and all the changes in the game were made the way they have been, different tax thresholds, luxury penalties, you know, revenue sharing, teams not reinvesting in the team like the Rays and the A's, taking money from the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets and they're sticking it in their back pocket. Baseball's different. Got no problems with Hal. I've got no problems with the Yankees team right now on February 26th. I do believe, if and when the time is there, to swoop in and strike with the one big move, whenever that is, I believe he will do it. I do. You might not, but I do. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal on the Fan Minus Sal. Have you texted Sal yet? He is out of surgery. I've been so busy with the show, but how did you text him after the surgery?
I texted him before so and did he didn't respond, so I hopefully he made it.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him. Can we assume he made it?
I think so.
Do we get another picture of the eye patch like you put out after the first one?
The dramatic Sal.
Yeah. I hope so. Sal looking for a little sympathy. I love that picture. That picture is hysterical. So hopefully Sal's feeling better. He's back Monday right now. I'm solo, but it's BT and Sal. All right, let's get back to you guys here. Before we do that, let you know we're inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. New buddy. How about, you know, we got a bunch of topics up there, a little Stafford, some other stuff. Let me kick Anthony to the top. You want to jump in on the Yankee stuff. He's in Westchester. Ant, what's happening? How are you today?
It's a good. I'm good. How are you?
Okay, Anthony.
Listen, I think you're giving Hal a pass, and here's my reasoning behind it. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I grew up with the 90s Yankees, grew up with the dynasty.
Yep.
We know he's not George, and that's perfectly fine. He doesn't have to be. But you can't come out in the offseason and say, we have the ability to sign any player we want, And now you're putting a self-imposed salary cap on yourself because you want to trade Stroman's $18 million before spending. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, a business model I understand where the Yankees' revenue is $777 million, their payroll is $300. No smart business owner, because I'm one myself, would want to run a 50% cost on payroll.
Yep.
I understand that. But when you look at the revenues over the years, from 2004 till now, the Yankees' revenue has shot up over 2,500% since then. Their payroll has not correlated to that. And it's not expecting them to keep doing it every year and just spending and spending and spending. Because, look, we spent $70 million on Aaron Hicks. That was a waste of money.
Yep.
We spent $50 million on Josh Donaldson. That's a waste of money. I am not saying spending fixes all, mm-hmm. but Hal can't get a pass and have it both ways where you say, we can sign anyone we want. We're the New York Yankees. But we have to trade Stroman and his $18 million because I really don't want to pay him.
Well, what I think he means by that is that he really tried to sign Juan Soto. And I think that's more Soto-specific than Stroman-specific.
Well, I'm talking about it as of now.
I know what you're saying.
You can't say that, though, in December.
So who should they trade for right now? Who they don't need a pitcher. You're not going to get Dylan Cease. Who should they trade for?
No, but right now they need third base. We need to figure out DH with Stanton out.
Yep.
Now, listen, is Stanton out for, you know, 3 months or 6 months? And this take of that other fans have, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's regular season. As long as we have him for the playoffs, well, he's aging, and he's one of the oldest 35-year-olds or 34-year-olds I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
He's younger than me. Yeah. Is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I hear you.
I would love to get a guy like Arraez, but the downside of Arraez is he's a slap singles hitter, right?
Yep. Look, can't run, can't feel.
Volpe did improve his batting average year over year.
Yeah.
His OPS went up 2 points. So that's a couple of slap singles here and there. It's not a lot of production. I hope the kid can progress. But the problem is, I don't think there's a clear-cut answer right now of who is the player that's going to make them better. Is Arenado really worth it?
Anthony, you're making my point. That's why I'm not doing anything now. I've got to let this materialize. It's a good call. I think you brought some good stuff to the table there. You know, and listen, with Stanton, I don't think Giancarlo, I've said this many times, I think this is going to be more like a 20, well, that would have been 19, where he barely played. I almost get the sense that I'm bracing him. And then it seems like there's, and I hope everything's all right, but personal issues. I don't know what's going on with that. That's not my thing. I don't jump into that. But even Boone was like, you know, listen, I'm going to just leave it at that. So that even seems fairly ominous. But from a baseball perspective, he hadn't touched a bat in a month, and he's made out of tissue paper. So you got problems with that. But why react until you get the absolute answer? Yeah, very likely that he's going to be gone for months. But until you know for sure, why are you going to do something? Because he's still making $32.5 million. So why add to that if you don't have to? And here's the other thing. I get it. If the Yankees traded for Luis Arraez today, right, solves a need, put him at third, or if you want to, you know, flip Jazz back to third, put Arraez at second, whatever you want to do. But you got a leadoff hitter, right? Okay. And then there's a ground ball hit to him in October, and he butchers it like labor. Guess what? Arraez, and I'm not saying I wouldn't take him because he's going to be on base a lot. He would add to the offense, and he's fairly cheap. And they might do it down the road, but you don't need to do it today. And everything we complained about the Yankees with the defensive deficiencies a year ago between Rizzo was a mess, and between Torres, who was a mess, and between, I mean, obviously Judge was a mess in center, my God, but with that, why would you bring in somebody else who's defensively deficient when that's all we did was complain? And he's not fast. As a matter of fact, I am very curious. I'm going to guess. This might take a second. I'm going to guess that his sprint speed. I got to go to Baseball Savant for a second. Going to get a little geeked up here. Arraez. Is it A-A-A-R-R-A-E-Z? Yeah, Louis. Okay. I'm going to say that his sprint speed is at best 20 percentile. Could be off on that. And obviously 20 percentile is not good. Let's see. His sprint speed is... it's 30%, a little bit better than I thought. But that 70% of players in Major League Baseball are faster. His range is in the 1 percentile. One! So basically, he's quicker than a rock or a boulder if you dropped him at second or third base. His arm strength is in the 12th percentile. Like, I'm not making this up. He can't throw. He can't move. and he's a deficient runner. Maybe not quite as much as I thought, but he's not good. 30%. Hey, your kid comes home with a 30 on a test. How you feeling about that? You happy? No, it's atrocious. It's unacceptable. So I'm not doing anything now. Not. And, you know, and the last call, then it was a good one. I'm not giving Hal the pass. I think I'm just trying to contextualize his entire run as owner. There's been some frustrating moments, but all in all, I think he's been fairly consistent. Maybe a little less than, well, not maybe, less than his pops in terms of going all in, but still presenting you a chance to win every year. I look more at the baseball people. I think this is where we kind of splinter off and disagree. If the baseball people were better at their job, if they drafted better people, young players, if they developed them better, like, I mean, they haven't developed the first baseman since Mattingly. And he was an outfielder when he came up. You know? They traded for Tino. They bought Teixeira. They bought Giambi. You know, all the you know, they bought, or they traded and then, you know, bought Forrest. They extended him. Rizzo. Don Mattingly was in the minors in the 70s. Now, that's not Cashman's fault. Obviously, previous regimes, but a good chunk of the lack of first baseman, that's on Cashman and his baseball people. So there's a lot of layers here. I just think that Hal's an easy target, and I think not all, but I think most of the criticism is unfair. Let me get Nick in Paramus. Nick, BT and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Brandon? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Nick?
Good, good. I got to agree with you with Hal. I mean, he spends plenty of money for the Yankees to win. The problem is Brian Cashman. You could go on and on with the guys that he's gotten, if it's Carlos Rendon or Stanton. He gets the wrong guys, and then he doesn't know how to draft either.
Well, again, it's not like he's writing the name on the placard and giving it to the commissioner, you know, or hitting enter on the laptop and it goes into the MLB office, but he's the general manager. No, it's a group effort. Obviously, you're going to lean on your scouts. But, yeah, I mean, one of the problems with this most recent era of Yankee baseball, and he's also done a lot of great things with the bullpen. And I like Cashman, certain things, and he's frustrated me a lot with other things, and you know that. I mean, remember and I meant it. Remember when I said, you know, Brian Cashman, I know Gio makes fun of it. Brian Cashman has not earned the right. I definitely don't say it like that. Gio says I say it like that, but has not earned the right to rebuild the Yankees the way the Yankees need to be rebuilt. I never sound like that. What, are you pulling it up, though? Can you find it? Oh, my God, if you could find that, it would be hysterical. But because, and just let me know if you have it, because they've made, and, you know, he has made some big-ticket mistakes, you know, like a Stanton and all the other mistakes that we know in, you know, chapter and verse, it hasn't been offset by great drafting. And if it was, then it would be less problematic because then you wouldn't have to always reach back into another checkbook to offset a lack of talent at other spots. You know what I mean? But he's been great with the bullpen. So what you know, what's your appetite for that? What's the scoreboard? What's the scoreboard? Jesus. Scoreboard. I didn't sleep a lot last night. For some reason, I cannot sleep. I'm just going to come clean. Didn't have a good night's sleep last night, Hoffy. Hold on, before you play it. I cannot sleep. I had some weird dreams. I could not sleep.
Do you want to talk about it? What were the dreams about?
No, not disturbed. I actually forgot. I just remember waking up, not like unsettled, like, I don't know, almost like I was, like, vaguely like I was back playing baseball and I just couldn't do something, which really probably wasn't a dream. It was just me remembering what I couldn't do. But I was up late. You know, I know you didn't watch it. The Patino documentary on Vice, episode 3, was money. That ended at 11, so my mind was a little revved up. Me and Jen watched that together. Then we flip on the news. Before you know it, it's like 11:40, tossing and turning. Just didn't get a good night's sleep.
I was watching Dexter, and I slept like a baby.
Dexter?
Yes.
I mean, what's next? Sopranos for the nighttime? Dexter?
No, I haven't watched Sopranos ever. You
wait
know that.
Second. No, I know that. But wait, Dexter, when did Dexter come out?
Oh, but yeah, but wait a second. There's a new series, like a new version of it.
What channel? What's the?
It's same channel.
I don't know what it is. Showtime.
Yeah.
I thought it was, okay, Showtime.
It's a prequel.
Oh, I haven't seen one second of Dexter.
Oh, it's so
good. Is that about the house The is Dexter about, or is that Weeds? The suburban mom who sells weeds.
No, that's Weeds.
That's Weeds. All right, what is Dexter about?
Dexter is about a serial killer. Dexter is about a serial killer, but he works for the cops.
I hate that stuff. Serial killers, that freaks me out.
No, but it's good. It's good. He kills. He's like Robin Hood for killers.
Oh, so he puts bad people on ice?
Yeah.
Nice, I like it.
Exactly.
That's good.
Sleep with the fishes.
Sorry, what, you found, how? What is this dated from? When did I say this about Cashman? What was the date?
I don't remember. It's not dated on here. We just put it in our drop.
This was with Tiki, so it's got to be at least two and a half. All right, go ahead. Brian Cashman has not earned the right to rebuild this team the way this team needs to be rebuilt. Yeah, I do accentuate the word right a little bit. Has not earned the right, but it's not like has not earned the right. Like the way Gio depicts it is not accurate. It's just not.
By the way, you did, I don't know if you realized, but you definitely kept timing with your hand. Like every word emphasized with you hitting the table.
Back then, you mean?
Yeah, listen to it again.
Oh, you can hear. That's audible? Go ahead. Yes. Let me hear it again. Okay. Brian Cashman has not earned the right to rebuild this team the way this team needs to be rebuilt.
I'm you not didn't hear it. That?
No, I didn't. And I listen, my eyesight's not quite. My hearing is pretty good.
Maybe not. Gotta I mean, check
maybe
it not out. That.
Maybe that's good.
The last words of that whole phrase,
really?
You start to pound.
I got to make it louder. one more time. Brian Cashman has not earned the right to rebuild this team the way this team needs to be rebuilt.
I don't hear it. To rebuild this team.
I don't hear it. No, I disagree.
It's like you don't use big words.
You heard it, though?
Yes.
All right.
It's not easy to hear. I have headphones on.
So do I.
Mine are you know, they cover
Yeah, welcome to 1983. What are you, Wham coming up you playing Wham next there, Casey Kasem?
Actually, I will.
God. Remember when Spike used to say that, like, one thing, and I like Spike, but one thing that used to annoy me about Spike, remember when he put all the, like, the music, all the new musical beds, and he did have to update things. It was a little bit too old, and he did a good job with that. But remember we'd come back with certain songs, this is with Teague, and I'm like, I can't stand this song. And
TLC, we'd be, Chasing Water.
Well, that or No Scrub. Like, and he's like, you know you privately love this song. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't like this song.
He played the hits.
Why do you think that I like this song? And I think more importantly, why do you think you got the freedom to tell me what I like or what I don't like? I know you're the boss, but don't tell me what I like.
This is one of those.
Unless, of course, you're Ryan Hurley, who is the current boss. Then he can tell me whatever you got to tell me.
I was going to say, this is one of the off-air conversations I think we had about Spike.
Huh. Nah, I do like Spike. Hey, Spike, how's those Sixers doing, buddy? What's Embiid? What's the over-under on FanDuel tonight with Embiid? Oh, 0.0 points? Got it. I'll take the under. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 is our number. Don't have any read here. I do not believe so. I will get back to the calls on a busy, busy Wednesday right here on The Fan. 1232, it's BT and Sal on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Get back to these phones. I did check both the Yanks and the Mets lineup for today. All right, a couple of quick observations. Now, the bottom third, less important for both of these teams today, but so Jazz is batting first, and Dominguez is batting second. No Judge yet, so that's obviously going to change. Cody Bellinger, third. Goldschmidt, four. Austin Wells, five. Volpe, six. And then it gets into, like, the Dom Smiths and the Pablo Reyeses, whatever. So Jazz, Dominguez, Belly, Goldschmidt, Wells, Volpe, one through six. I want to get back to that. Do I like Jazz as a... Like, we kind of think it's going to be either Dominguez or Volpe. And Jazz, they messed around a little bit with him at the leadoff. I want to circle back to that. And the Mets now, it looks like they're going to really marry themselves early on to this Pete and the three-hole stuff, which I don't love, but you know, I'm not going to go nuts about it. Lindor, one. Soto, two. Pete, three. Vientos, four. McNeil, five. He's not batting five this year. And then you got, like, Torrens and then Ortega and some others who won't factor in as much. Blackburn on the mound. Jazz is a leadoff hitter. It's less than optimal for me. I don't know if he's going to be on base enough. I know he's going to run. I know he's going to give you some pop. And then again, I don't know if Dominguez or Volpe's going to be on base enough. So I think ideally, like I like Jazz more in that like five-ish spot, bringing a little pop, and then being able to run wild without maybe getting in the way of Judge. Like if he's batting first and Judge is two or three. Not that I am a big believer in this, but I believe Major League Baseball subscribes to this. Some teams, like, you know, if you're in front of a great, great hitter like Judge or Soto or one of those types, that's a little distraction. And it's a little personal preference, but, you know, some hitters don't care, some do. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd love Jazz at one. I'd be a little, not stunned, I'd be a little surprised if he starts the season in the one hole. I still think it's going to be Dominguez even more than Volpe, but we shall see. Mark is at Oceanside, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, BT, how are you? Doing a good job alone.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
Okay. Point on why the Mets need to do something now and the Yankees do not.
Go ahead.
The major reason I see is the Yankees face very little competition in the American League. There is not one good team that I can see other than the Yankees.
Well, hold on a sec. Boston's going to be a lot better. That rotation is tough in Boston. It's going to be very good.
Let's say they won, I think they won 74 last year, DT.
Yeah.
Let's say they win 10 more games, which
they
is
will.
A nice job.
They will.
That's 84.
They're going to win more than 84. They're better than that. They're good.
Okay. They're pretty good. Okay. But look at the other teams who made the playoffs. Cleveland and Kansas City, that's the little sisters of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, when I saw their lineups against the Yankees in the playoffs, I was laughing at them.
Yeah, they still almost beat them, the Yankees, the Guardians. Oh,
yeah, they did, but they're just an awful lineup for a playoff team. And then you look at the lineups and the pitching staffs, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves, even the Padres. I think the National League at this point in time, because it vacillates back and forth.
Yeah.
By the way, you can use vacillate as one of your vocabulary.
That's a good word. I like vacillate, to fluctuate, to go back and forth. Yes, without decision.
Yeah.
Good word. Good word.
Okay. I just feel that the Mets need to make a move. I hated what Stearns did with bringing in 3 second-rate pitchers in Blackburn, Canning.
And
I can't stand Montas. My God, they had a good opportunity to sign a worthwhile number 5 starter in their own Quintana. Not a great pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have 5. It's unlikely to have 5 excellent starters. But here's a guy who's a utilitarian and shows up for work, will give you 3 runs in 6 innings or so,
mm-hmm.
and is a representative starter. And they could have had him at half the price they paid for. I mean, I still can't believe the contract they gave Frankie Montas. And that's why I think they need to make a move sooner rather than later, not to let the year get away from them.
I agree, Mark. I think that's fair. Because, listen, I don't know. Listen, there could be a massive bat that becomes available. I don't know what happens with the Padres, and they could be looking to shed some money. I think they'll be good. But if they're not, do they maybe trade Tatis? Well, I don't know, let alone Arias, which obviously they've tried to move already. But I think that they'll be I would worry, and worry's a little strong, but I'd be aware of a dearth of available arms at midseason for the Mets. Like, I don't want to wait too long. I'm not saying you make the Dylan Cease trade today. You start with just a reinforcement. You know, just get a capable arm, an innings eater, and Quintana fits the bill perfect. He knows the clubhouse. He knows the culture. Met fans trust him. His teammates trust him. I like Quintana. He's going to nibble. And he's going to have to hit his spots, but he generally does. He's fine. But you got to at least do something like that. And I would be a little worried, like, I don't know, like, who else, you know, Crochet's already dealt. You know, who else could possibly, well, Dylan Cease could be, so maybe that's the one. But you're going to have some competition for that. It's just got to read this properly. You got to trust Stearns and his thoughts on pitching. And, you know, the laboratory, I know it's a small sample, whatever, but it's a successful example. So until it proves to be a failure, I think to expect it to go awry, that's probably the wrong way to view it. I don't know, you buy in, you know, hook, line, and sinker, but he's earned that wiggle room to prove himself. That's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the numbers. BT and Sal on the Fan. I want to get into this as well as the Yankee calls, bet calls, a little something on Stafford. I want to throw in something on Muji and Aaron Glenn about Aaron Rodgers yesterday. We'll get to that coming up. And did the Knicks have a real injury concern? I don't think he's going to play tonight, which is fine. You don't love it. But bigger picture, is there an issue with Cat health-wise? We'll get to that too. All right, when the game tips off, the NBA action's just starting on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting. So either if you missed out on the first 2 minutes of the game or want to bet on a fourth quarter comeback, and in the NBA, there's a ton of them, you could be down 20 and come back and make a run. Before you go, I don't want to miss. BT and Sal on the Fan, 1246 here. So get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. Still a little Stafford. Obviously a big Yankee day. Weaved in some Met stuff as well. And some of the Stafford stuff that is leaked in from yesterday, Jordan Renan had an interesting tweet about how the buzz of the combine appears to be taking shape, that the Giants are absolutely, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but basically the tweet was that it seems to be that Stafford is the target for the Giants, okay? Which is what I said yesterday. That's the way it should be. That's what I would do. Just a quick note on the Jets here. We played some of the Mucci stuff and some of the Glenn stuff from yesterday as well when they met the media out there in Indianapolis. And I got to tell you, and it is very early. And, you know, and it's funny how different people hear different things. Like we played the sound bites from the new general manager for the Jaguars, who's dropping like ecosystem. And what was that other term? Something rich or what was it? Intangibly rich. Just a bunch of weird stuff. Just say you want multifaceted, diverse football players, dude. But everybody attacks this differently. And you hear different stuff. And Hoff said to me earlier today, he's like, what'd you think of Mucci yesterday? He's like, Hoff, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Why don't you tell me and tell everybody what you said? Not that you ripped him, but you didn't love the way Mucci sounded on the mic yesterday for the Jets.
No, I didn't. And listen, it's okay if you think it's a rip. I think that Darren Mucci sounded more like Idzik to me, John Idzik. And I just didn't feel comfortable, didn't feel confident in what he had to say.
Yeah.
You know, and the first answer that he came out with, which was, you know, the Aaron Rodgers kind of word salad, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how I need my GM to talk
okay
to people from the right off the bat.
I got you. That's what you heard. I respect it. I heard something different. Now, I also am going to give Mucci and even Glenn, certainly as a first-year head coach, I'm going to give him some room to figure out their persona. And that's not wrestling, but, you know, you still have to learn how you're going to project and how are you going to craft that personality that you want to divulge for what's going to be a very public consumption of a lot of different sound bites, hopefully over a long time, from both Mucci and Glenn. What I love about it, first of all, Glenn's money. I'm not worried about Glenn at all. And I'm not worried about Mucci. I love the way these gentlemen have attacked Rodgers. Now, I'm basically done talking about Aaron Rodgers pertaining to the Jets. I mean, why wouldn't you be? He's gone, and he will be. And Davante Adams will be gone as well. The Jets will get about $30 million in salary cap relief, which will be fine and good. But I do think you use the term word salad. Even for somebody that's been around, like, say, 3 years, like, say, Joe Shane, that's a tough spot. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and you want to straddle that line of respect and, you know, a little bit of reverence for his place in the NFL, future Hall of Famer, all-time great, Super Bowl champion, four MVPs. But you also need to, you know, kind of play to your fan base and placate them a bit and throw them a bone and keep the train moving here. I thought Mucci, now again, it's not like it wasn't like Rex on the microphone. He didn't have this great sizzle or pop or presence. I grant you that. But I thought that he really straddled the line well of, you know, showing some respect, but also, like, just moving on. Like, he could have very easily been caught in the weeds of, well, I mean, listen, guys, I mean, come on, anytime you're talking about I'm just making this up. Anytime you're talking about a player of Aaron Rodgers' stature and status, I mean, a four-time MVP, one of the all-time greats throwing the ball, and, you know, anytime you talk about a player of that ilk, it's a little tricky to navigate and it was a tough decision. No, you don't need that. You don't need all that nonsense. That would have been a word salad. This was maybe it lacked energy and maybe it lacked punch for you, Hoff, but for me, it didn't lack effectiveness. Hey, a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers. We moved on and basically that's it. The less you give sometimes is good. And I thought they did a good job with that. So props to those guys. 888-808-1019. Let me get Conrad down in Cherry Hill. What's going on, Conrad?
Hey, BT. Enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
Here's my problem with going after Stafford. And if Joe Shane go after Stafford, I no longer want him as the GM for the Giants. And here's the reason why. Last year, we had the opportunity to draft Michael Penix Jr.,
Penix.
Which we did not.
Yep.
Right?
Bonex.
And we left them there. So now, therefore, we had the opportunity to get our quarterback last year.
Yes.
So this year, we're going to go ahead and spend more money and draft capital to get Stafford here on the team. By the way, even with Stafford here, we'll probably be the third best on in our division, right? Because I think Washington made leaps, steps, and bounds.
I agree.
So going after Stafford only set us back for more years to come because he's going to give us two good years, okay? Mm-hmm. Depending how we play out. Not sure if we're going to make it to the playoffs. But then what happens after him? You know, what's the quarterback we're going to go after? So if we go after Stafford, it's not like we're going to have – it's not like when we had Kirk Warner and then we had Eli on the bench, right?
No, it's not like
that.
Not
the same scenario. So right now, if this regime go after Stafford, I want nothing to do with them because that shows me that they have a problem with evaluating talent. When you had a chance to get a quarterback, you did not get it. And if you look at the talent that they brought in, if you could just spare me this, look at the talent that they brought in. Not one of them, other than the receiver that we got last
Neighbors,
is a superstar. Stuff,
I like Theo
right?
Johnson.
Everybody
I think he's
going to
be he's not a superstar. I like your tight end. He's young. I like your running back.
Okay, but that's okay. They had a good year. Okay, but coming out of college, these are not people that we were looking at being.
But that doesn't. Who cares? Well, hold on. Let me just jump in. Who cares what we thought about what they were in college? It's what they are in the NFL. The Giants had a good draft last year. Giants had to be
and
fair.
I am fair in that sense, and I completely agree with you. To me, 1 year doesn't make that, okay, you all, they're good. Let me see year two. Okay?
I agree with that.
So now, with that being said, if you look at this roster, all the stud players that we have on the roster came from Gettleman. They did not come from this regime. So therefore, I have a problem. And not only that, they came from Gettleman. We let them go. We let Xavier McKinney go. Which clearly is a stud.
No,
I don't even
want to
talk about Barkley.
I know.
Already know about that.
Yeah.
So now, therefore, this is going to be a problem. This regime does not need to go after Stafford. Let's go. The only way, and again, the only way, and I won't even go after Stafford because the price tag is too high.
Yeah.
If we find another, let's go after a quarterback in this draft. Again, I'm in love with Shador, and I'm in love with Cam Ward. If we don't get those two, and we pass on them, we better go out there, get a defensive player that is lights out, a generational talent.
Yeah, now hold on a second. Now, Conrad, hold on. I actually think that you could achieve that because we all thought, and maybe it's not the case, maybe it's a smokescreen, which I always left as a possibility, but the Giants have been connected to Sanders since they were still playing games, you know? Maybe they don't like Shador Sanders as much as we thought, and maybe they just don't like Cam Ward at all. Or they like him, but Cam's going to go too early, and they don't have the appetite to go from 3-2 or 3-1 with Tennessee, whatever it's going to require to get Cam Ward. Well, you got to have a quarterback play next year. I understand that there's criticism for last year's decisions. You didn't get Michael Penix. You didn't get Bo Nix. You didn't get McCarthy. They could have done it a year ago. And by the way, Conrad, I would not have brought back Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I'm on the record. Having said that, they are back, and I hope they do well because I want to see the Giants win. It's better for us. It's better for our city. I just can't stand this awful, wretched football anymore. I can't. So I want to see them do it right. But if they don't like Sanders and Ward, then would you still want them to take them? Well, we don't really know if Sanders is going to be good, but we got to give a quarterback to our fan base. No, that's the worst thing to do. The best thing off that would be to say, all right, we don't want to draft the quarterback at number 3 or at 1 or 2 or even dropping back to 6 or 7. We're going to sign. It's just money. And you're not giving up a first-round pick to get Stafford. And if that's not happening. So you get a much better quarterback, and you either take a stud, and there are studs. There are non-quarterback studs at 3. You could do that. You could trade back. You could still get a stud defensive player, and you could add to the talent base of the Giants, which has been woefully thin for far too long. I actually think the Giants are in a pretty good spot right here. I really do, provided they get Stafford. Now, if you don't get Stafford and you don't get Sanders or Ward, well, what the hell are we doing? Who's the quarterback? You want to really give $40 million to Darnold? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for the Jets. Not that he wants any part of that again. Wouldn't do it for the Jets. Wouldn't do it for the Giants. I would do Justin Fields for the Jets. I guess I would do Justin Fields for the Giants too. But there's other teams that are going to be interested. You got to have somebody play quarterback other than DeVito and Tyrod Taylor for the Jets. So I think the Giants regime made a lot of mistakes last year, even though they had a good draft. And certainly the first couple of years, I think there's a path to recover. And I told you what it was before pretty much everybody else was telling you what it was. Stafford. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Get back to the calls here. Big hour to go. Kat, should we worry about Karl-Anthony Towns' health? Big picture. We'll weave that in as well on the Fan.